All right, everyone. Last looks. Quiet on set. Roll sound. Sound speed. Roll camera. Camera speed. Scene one, take one. Mark it. And action. Hi, I'm Ed, the host of Savannah on Film, and we explore the economic and cultural impact and values of the film industry in Savannah through conversations with people who work in the industry and related fields. You can find us here on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Hello, everyone. Hello, the world. Welcome to Savannah on Film, and we've got a super fantastic lineup today, tonight, this evening, this week. I have three Academy Award winners here. No. It's coming soon.
Yeah, my name's Charlize Theron.
I tell you, as great as an actress as she is, my name is Charlize Theron. She's awesome.
For the first time this year, I worked on something nominated.
Uh-oh. Okay. Uh-oh. We're getting into all that. But let me tell everybody who we are and why we're here, which is a deep, deep question. Welcome to Savannah on Film. I'm your host, Ed Susevich, and our purpose is to explore the economic and cultural impact of the film industry in Savannah through conversations with people who work in the industry and related fields. We are here on Savannah's number one radio station, voted by you, the listeners. We thank you. And number one talk radio in Savannah. We are on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM in Savannah, Georgia. WRUU. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio, global soul. I love doing that. So
you're good at that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Checks in the mail.
Radio voice.
It might bounce. I've got the radio voice. You should. Yeah, I was saying on the episode before when I had the Savannah crud, as I call it, you know, when the allergy
through.
Season. Yeah,
it's going there.
I was like, Darth Vader.
Yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah. I'm welcoming to the show today, and I'm just yip-yapping. We already just got into having a bunch of fun here. I've got Trish Rutter here.
That would be me.
That would be Trish right there.
Hi.
I hope I have everybody in frame. Please forgive my... There we go.
We'll meet in.
Yeah, okay. And I have on my left here, I guess you're right, is Blanca Garcia Hicks. And
right.
Welcome back to the show, finally, Barbara Lunkowski. Yay. And, wow, I have so much I could ask you ladies, and I want to thank y'all all for being here. There's a little TV series, actually it's a big TV series that you guys are on, and there's so many departments. We like to feature people at all different levels of the industry, and we are representing costuming and wardrobe. And we're also, help me out,
I am an assistant director.
Assistant director.
Yes.
Okay. Part of the production. So we've got tons of questions. I want to welcome everybody who's listening live, watching on Facebook Live. Savannah on Film will be taking your questions and comments. And for everybody who's going to catch it on the replay, we appreciate you. We are now on iTunes. We're on Anchor. We're all over the place. Wherever you find podcasts, you can also... in between takes on set, listen to Savannah on Film if you want to. Council of Dads.
Council of Dads, yes.
Council of Dads.
NBC.
Probably the biggest thing to probably happen to Savannah, and we've had a lot of productions, but I think our first real nationally televised TV series that is probably going to be a smash hit.
Everyone needs to watch it on March 10th.
March 10th, 2020. It's a new year, it's a new decade, and it's time for several seasons of this fantastic show. I was lucky enough to try my hand at background acting one day. We were talking about before the show, and I was like, I don't want to do it. And I did it, and it was really awesome. It was a fun experience, and seeing a lot of the Savannah film community. In fact, trying to get some people. I've got some big names that I've been trying to get on the show, but... Council of Dads came and some other productions, so, you know, it works that way. That's the business, and I want to thank you ladies for taking time out of your busy schedules, and are we off today? Is this your off day?
We're off today.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have weekends off.
Monday through Friday.
No Fratterdays.
Oh, well, we do those.
Yeah.
This show is actually good about it.
Okay. Good about not having them?
Yes, because okay. We have a lot of kids on our show, so they are very restricted in the hours they can work. So usually on Fridays, it's not too bad. We've had a couple of night shoots, which are always draining, but Mostly it's been okay.
It's been okay. Well, okay is good.
Yeah. Yeah. This coming Friday will be our first really true Fratterday.
Oh, what?
Oh. Oops, if anybody's listening from production.
I'm calling in sick.
Oh, no,
you're not.
I would say, well, normally that's not okay, and it wouldn't be okay because this is going out to the internet to everywhere, so you'll have to explain that one. I'm just going to start Barbara here on my right. What got you interested in the wonderful film industry? I know when you were here probably over a year ago.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. You had a background in L.A., so...
Well, my actual beginning in entertainment is in theater. I have a master's degree in stage management.
Awesome.
I went to Virginia Tech, and part of the program there... And ironically, Trish went to the same program. She
wow.
and I went to the same undergraduate program in theater at the University of Delaware.
But y'all weren't
then,
like...
We didn't know
and then
each other.
The same graduate program at Virginia Tech. So we know
wow.
the same...
She's a little younger than me, so I was just a little bit ahead of her.
But we know the same
time.
People
awesome.
And worked with the same
people.
It's true.
People. The same people, same professors, yeah. all of that stuff. It was very strange to figure that out.
It's a small... 50 people smoke and mirrors. That's what the
I'm
industry is.
Really, it's folded all over so many times, all the edges touch. You know?
But, yeah. And you can verify for me, part of our program was that we had to get professional experience.
Yes.
We had to do professional internships.
Yes.
So one of my professional mm-hmm. internships was going to work on a low-budget show that was shooting in West Virginia. Their script supervisor quit in the middle of the shoot. Contacted.
Just like, boom,
just
I'm out.
Quit, because that happens.
Yep.
More often than we'd like
yep.
to think. And,
right.
you know, North Carolina Film Office contacted one of my professors who was an actor who knew I was interested, and they just wanted a stage manager type. So mm-hmm. since I was a stage manager, I took off for a few weeks and joined the circus. That
That's
one was my monkeys
it.
At my
Is,
circus.
Isn't it like a circus sometimes?
Yes.
It's a traveling circus.
It's controlled
kind of like
chaos.
Gypsies.
Yes.
Gypsies.
We're gypsies.
Indeed.
You're gypsies.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm the only one that lives here. These ladies are from out of town.
It's true.
A lot of our, we've got a fair amount of Savannah people working on the show, mm-hmm. mixed with a large amount of people from out of town. A lot of Atlanta people, some L.A. people.
Well, CETA was reporting some of the great numbers of just what 2019 brought to the bottom line of Savannah, the Savannah area, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. You know, I've grown up in this city, and to see this industry really just grow by leaps and bounds, you know, is amazing. And it's definitely wonderful to see local talent working on these shows. You know, if you get a big production in, sometimes film, sometimes movies and films or TV, and they bring in a bunch of their people, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, that happens everywhere.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell Ang Lee that, you know,
you can't have your team
of people. Yeah, you know, but
it's
great. Oh, it is. I mean, I am the only member of my team that's a Savannah local. The rest
really?
Of my team came in from out of town, and when they wanted to expand, thankfully I had I had actually worked with our production manager 20 years ago on Baywatch.
Wow.
I was on, yeah, we didn't even work together. We worked parallel.
Did you ever hassle the Hoff? It was your job to make sure the Hoff wasn't hassled.
Hasselhoff. Yeah.
Okay.
But when you were in grad school, where did you do your internships?
I stayed in theater until I moved to California. Okay. So I did my theater internship at Cincinnati Playhouse.
Oh, wow. Were there any productions that stood out in your mind that, like, were your favorites that you did? Or
as far as film is concerned? Terriers.
Okay.
Terriers was awesome.
Terriers?
Yeah. It went one season.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, it was like the best job. It shot in OB in San Diego, where I live now. It was mostly daytime down at the beach.
Oh, I want to apologize for our Seattle weather we're having today. You're from, like, San Diego, and, you know, we're used to the weather like that, so, you know.
Yeah,
draw a line across the country, we're pretty much about even there.
That sounded great. That was Baywatch second unit, sunrise to sunset.
I'm telling
you. No electricians, no sound department, just stunts at the beach.
And I was on the truck, so I could take care of the truck, visit set every now and then, but not be stuck there, so...
Sorry.
Yeah. So it was cool.
There we go.
Terriers was great.
Okay. I was going to say, and you guys actually give both sides on this because you're on the truck and you're on the set.
Yeah. And the act, which I actually shot here last year, was
fantastic.
A really fun experience, which is where I really learned how to like Savannah.
Explain.
Well, I'd never been here, I came here for the show, and we were renting a couple of different places, and so I got to see I got to cover a lot of ground, and I started out on that show shopping, so I got to look around a lot and then get to walk around and found out that it's actually really a nice little town.
Okay, just for the uninitiated, I mean, we're playing dumb today, okay? Or at least I am.
Sure.
It's not much of a play for me, I guess, but shopping, you weren't just going to the grocery store, no.
No.
For the uninitiated.
No. You have to build your actors' closets from the ground up, usually when you start a show, because the designer has something very specific in mind. So you're curating a look, and that's based on the show colors. Yes, there are such a thing as show colors, and it's based on who your characters are and all of those things. A lot of the times, shows like ours don't have time to build costumes. The designer can't make them and have them built, although that is sometimes you have some leeway. So usually what you do is you send your shopper out to do the basic shopping of the wardrobe, and then you bring it back, and the designer goes through it and puts the looks together and does that for the actors. And then they fit the actors, and they figure out who that character is.
Wow.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep. Add more.
I was going to say, Blanca, what do you have to offer?
And then there's the dyeing process that you have to change color.
That's D-E-Y-I-N-G. I don't have my autocorrect, my spell check. So that's a dyeing of clothes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aging and dyeing is a large part of also what we do to create character.
It's fascinating.
And they're brushing and then making them dirty, making them look like Larry's character. He has to look like he's a Vietnam vet, so his clothes have to look old.
And they have to have that weathered look to
on
them.
On this
and,
show that we're
On Council of Dads.
On Council of Dads.
That's one of our characters.
One of the characters we have.
Okay.
So his character is really the only one that looks like his clothes are old.
Larry would never wear something new unless it was new 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, he's a Vietnam vet, so his character.
I want to make sure that we don't give away too much here, so please don't feel pressured to say anything.
But my favorite show that I worked on was Breaking Bad, and will probably be the best one.
Why was that?
The characters and what I got to do myself.
Right.
That was some good storytelling.
And and the writing, you know, it was amazing.
It's just everything just was firing on all cylinders, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was never one that I said, I really don't like this script.
Have you ever gotten to, when you're putting like costuming wardrobe together, have you ever kind of been stumped and like, I'm not sure exactly how to is it appropriate to say dress this character?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Oh yeah.
Many times.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do? How do you work through, what's your processes for working through that? If you do you consult
you,
like
well,
the script?
You read you definitely you read the script more than once. The right. first time you read the script, you read it just for the story.
Do you okay, I was going to say the second time do you read it like visually? And you say, oh,
you,
well,
you
I see.
You get to that point, yeah. Then you read it. Then as I'm not really a designer, so I read it to understand what they're going to need for each scene. So I'll break it down to figure out where it rains, what the weather is, all of those sort of things. And that also plays into character building. Yeah.
And what time of year is the story
what
taking?
What time of year? Is it summer?
You always have to ask, well, what season is it?
And what location it's supposed to be, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Although this is Council of Dads is fun because we're shooting Savannah as Savannah.
Awesome.
Because the guy who wrote the book, it's based on a book, the guy who wrote the book lived here.
Wow.
So our locations are actual...
Locations
in Savannah, like recognizable ones. Okay. Can I say what our restaurant is?
Let's say we've actually filmed at Leopold's, a standard here.
Was Stratton in the, did he get to be in there at Stratton Leopold? He's a pillar.
That was before I started on the show.
Which one?
Okay.
He's the owner of Leopold's.
He loves ice cream.
Yeah. Leopold's is...
He was there. I don't know if we got him on camera, but I know he was there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a great gentleman, a great asset to Savannah, and he's been a wonderful person for just promoting this city through film through the decades. And
that's great.
I had him on the show. It was a definite honor to have him speak with them. So,
It's fun. It's fun to film. For me, it's fun to film in my home as my home.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I was going to get to that. Yeah. I was like, yeah, what's that experience like? I mean, you don't have to, you're not in Albuquerque or Toronto or someplace else trying to make it look like.
I'm not filming in Los Angeles pretending to be Miami.
Right.
I'm not in, you know, Palm Desert pretending to be Iraq. I'm not, you know. We're shooting, like you said, shooting Savannah as Savannah. I live here. Takes me 5 minutes to get to work, which is amazing, which never happened in Los Angeles. And
can you say how long production is going to be, or is that do we know yet?
We have three more weeks of shooting.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And this round, we're doing 10 episodes total.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm.
So pilot was earlier this year, and then we came back and did episodes 2 through 10.
Okay, cool.
And then we're all eagerly awaiting to find out if there's going to be a season two.
Wow, and that was impressive. You know, from the original pilot, and then getting picked up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wow, this is really good for Savannah, and it's just really going to showcase Savannah well.
I came for the pilot.
You came for the pilot, uh-huh. Blanca?
And came back because you loved us. Yeah.
And you may never want to leave. Or you'll take a little bit of Savannah with you in your heart.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I've talked to a lot of people that are part of the company that have fallen in love with the city to the point that if the show gets picked up, there are a lot of people who are thinking of buying properties here and, you know, staying here while the while shooting and then potentially renting
that's,
it out.
That's, you know,
the
they
time.
Can, they can, they can be bi-coastal, you know, have a house over here, have a house out in LA or in between. So,
We're all hoping.
Like snowbirds.
And economically, that's an interesting thing that people don't really consider when they talk about the film industry. I mean, they talk about, you know, moving people into hotels and all of those things that are very
the temporary
important.
Storage, but if you want to call
it's
it.
It's always interesting when you get a show like Breaking Bad or one that goes on for numerous seasons where people actually relocate and buy in the area. And that's a different aspect of the economy than most people think about when they think about.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been hoping and kind of praying for is that we get something like what I consider like a Frasier show. A good 10, 12 seasons, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, that would be like a steady check, steady employment, and a lot of people, and I know
hopes are high for this one.
I know there's a lot of people working on casting. One of them's Marty Sue, and she's doing a fantastic job. And I know they get a lot of locals, and they have to cycle through a lot of locals when you get that call, and you're like, we're looking for exactly this, exactly that person.
And Savannah being a smaller market, we need to. That's one thing we as Savannah need to work on, and that's building a base of people to work as backgrounds actors on things. You know, it's not like Los Angeles where you can call Central Casting and say, you know, I want six couples. I want five guys that look like they are bodybuilders, and I want someone to walk around in a pink tutu, and it just shows up the next day.
Right.
Because I've had to call and get someone in a pink tutu before. But, you know, when we're doing something like this, we can build a core of regular people that will show that will come and work.
Right.
But you often have those scenes where you need fresh faces.
So, with the series, and if you've got, you know, especially the background,
you see a lot of the same people.
Yeah, you don't want to see the same people in the same. You know, I saw him, and he's a character in this one, and then five episodes later, he's a character in this. You know,
if the show goes, it's going to be a great opportunity to build that core of people that will come in and work shows.
Yeah. You know? Right. That happened in Arizona. They used to always get the same background, the same for all the Westerns. Every Western I did. And I was going from Western to Western.
I've changed. I'm a new person.
So some of the Westerns, some of the extras got smart. They say, oh, don't put me close to the camera because then I can't work again. They've seen my face. Put me way back.
Or put me close to the camera so you have to have me all the time.
Yeah. Mm. And then I got to work on Quick and the Dead, and Sam Raimi, the director, he looked at all the pictures we showed him of the background, and he goes, all these have been on Tombstone, and they've been on this one, and this one, and that one.
Wow, he knows.
Yeah, he's really good. He studied everything. He said, all I've seen these faces on this show, and this show, and that. And he goes, I want you to go back out and bring me people that look like they eat nails for breakfast. I want the women to look like they have misery in their face, and every wrinkle is like, that it tells a story.
Tell them the paycheck's going to be a day late. You'll see misery on their face.
So we went out. I was helping casting. And we went out, and we went to the construction sites. We went to the biker sites, and we went to, like, the day laborers.
Would you say, hey, you want to be in a movie?
And that's what we rounded it up and came back, and he goes, yes, this is what I want.
Have you ever had a background actor that got kind of pushed up, you know, to, like, main talent? Any of you?
When I worked on the movie American Wedding, we had a scene that took place in a gay bar. Mm-hmm. And we had a half dozen drag queens. And they wanted one. We ended up bumping one of them up to a contract speaking role.
Oh, wow.
And I'll admit, I got to pick the person that did it. Because it's like, Willem, you're awesome. Here, come sit here and do this. Mm-hmm. And he actually goes by he rather than she. But he has since gone on and was part of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Wow.
And I helped him get a SAG card because I helped him get bumped up to a role.
What is that feeling like when you get to, like...
I feel like a proud mommy.
You're like,
I've probably, because I don't... On this show, I'm working in base camp, dealing with the actors, dealing with you guys.
Right.
A lot of shows, I tend to work with background a lot. Mm-hmm. And...
Wait, was that a twitch in your eye when you said work with you guys?
No.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
No, I love you guys. Would I be sitting here with you guys if I didn't love you guys?
Do you need medical attention?
In Georgia, it's not having SAG or Screen Actors Guild extras isn't really a thing because we're outside the purveyance of Los Angeles or New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when you work in Los Angeles or New York or probably Atlanta, there's a certain, by contract, number of extras that have to be union.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they, in order to join SAG, you have to get, you know...
Well, Georgia's also a
right-to-work state, so it's not as big a deal. But in California, everybody wants to get their SAG card. And one of the ways, or one of the routes to get it is you earn, because when you work as background, as you know, you get paid on what's called a voucher, which is basically your contract for the day.
Right.
So if you get three SAG vouchers, you are eligible to join the union. And I've probably, over the years, helped at least 20, 25 people get their SAG cards by some SAG person doesn't show up. I have the flexibility to give that to someone else or not give that. So, you know, I like to reward people that do good work, that pay attention, that show up, that, you know.
That are punctual, that are like, you know.
extras.
They do their job.
I love them. That's why I don't like to call them extras. They're background actors because you are acting.
And I've not heard this on set, but it's equivalent to herding cattle sometimes. That, you know, and that's not a nice thing to say, and I don't mean to say it that way.
When you're moving a large group of people.
More like cats.
Cats, okay.
Herding cats.
Yes. Yeah, cats are going to do what they want. But when I got to be on there, it was fascinating. It was just fun, and everybody was just like, there's just such camaraderie, and it just felt, you know, everybody took good care of us and all that.
I'm glad you had a good experience.
Yeah, I had a good experience, and it was my first time doing that, and it was a wonderful experience.
It was fun seeing you on that side of things.
Yeah, I know, and you know. I was like, oh, it was that one chilly morning, and then it was like a warm afternoon, but, you know.
Tybee gets a little cold in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you were at Tybee?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say what location.
Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know. If we're not sure, let's shy away.
We were filming at a lovely restaurant.
No spoilers, right?
It was by the water, and it's always very cold there in the morning.
Yeah. And, no, I'm not going to say that because that's spoilerish.
Did you come to the costume trailer when you signed in?
I did, and I actually was dressed
perfect
for it. Yeah, I had to stand in line. Even my hair was not good today. That's why there's a hat on. I ain't going to lie. There's no shame. I'm having a bad hair day, but I stood in line there, you said, here, go over this line, and you know, I'm talking, making friends. I'm a yippity yapper. I'll talk with a tree if the tree will talk. But the tree doesn't even have to answer. I'll talk to it. And so I was making friends left and right.
You definitely hit it off well.
Ah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I went there and I'm like, oh, I've got the look. Perfection. I was waiting for someone to go, no, that doesn't work. Oh, it works perfectly.
But you were right by Blanca's world. Blanca runs that trailer.
Yeah, I think I remember you. So thank you for thinking I look good enough for the part to be in the background. Now, whether it makes it on screen, that's the other thing, you know. There's so many, you know, especially in a series, I guess, you know. It can be in a film because you can have hundreds of background actors.
Yeah.
And,
you
know,
absolutely.
I think of something like 1917, you know, and how, you know, how many people are in that film. And so sometimes you always look for that credit. You look for like, oh, there I am. I'm in this scene and this such and such scene and this episode or this part of the film. And it's so exciting. And I think that never gets old.
Do you guys still get I still get a kick out of seeing my name in credits. Do you still get a kick out of seeing your name in credits?
I never see my name in credits. No. I'm too low on the totem pole.
I'm by the caterer.
There's been some projects that I wish my name was not on.
Oh, yeah, I've had those.
We've all had those. Now, Barbara, you've got a last name like mine. Yours Lonkowski, mine Susevich. And yes, say that, you know, with vegetable soup.
Mine does not get confused with other people's names.
Yeah, and so
when
I know somebody who has a very long name that was on a film, and they misspelled this person's first name, which is easy, and they got the last name right.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
But I'm like, you know, I just knew that my name would get misspelled, and it didn't, as far as I know. So I don't know. I want to pivot the conversation a little bit to talk about, let's see, I'm trying to see the clock on the wall. You know what? We'll come back and we'll talk about women in the film industry and where we've been and where we're going and me not kicking the camera like I just did. And I see we got some people on Facebook Live watching and some comments. Maybe we'll look at those and see what's up. Anyway, we'll be right back. So let's hit these few wonderful announcements you're going to want to check out. And we'll be back with Trish Rutter, Blanca Garcia Hicks, and Barbara Lonkowski here on Savannah on Film.
This portion of WRUU Savannah Sounding Programming is brought to you by listeners and the 2020 Savannah Music Festival, presenting classical music artists Dover Quartet, Atlanta Symphony Orchestra with Andre Watts, Performance Today's Piano Puzzler with Fred Child and Bruce Adolfi, Escher String Quartet, Camille Thomas, and more. Information at savannahmusicfestival.org.
Jenham-area Transit will present a community meeting to discuss concerns and suggestions for the area's public transit system on Wednesday, February 12th at 5:30 p.m. at the Transit Center on West Oglethorpe Avenue in Savannah. More information is available at catchacat.org. The Georgia Historical Society will present Super Museum Sunday on February 10th, when dozens of participating Georgia historic sites, homes, and museums will be free and open to the public from 12 to 4 p.m. For more information, visit georgiahistory.com.
WRUU 107.5 FM is a new and different listener-supported and all-volunteer community radio station for Savannah. Our diverse broadcast and web programming is supported by generous listeners who value our passion and spunk. We are independent of other media and receive no government or large corporate support. People like you are the largest and most important source of our funding. Go to WRUU.org to find out how you can make a one-time or monthly contribution. Thank you.
I still think it's.
And we are back, everyone, here on Savannah's number one radio station, number one talk radio voted by you, the listeners. We are here, Savannah on Film, WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And Barbara, you were going to address a question. We're just talking to the Facebook Live there. Did you want to?
You were saying about Council of Dads. A lot of our casting does come out of Atlanta and does come out of Los Angeles. But there are other shows that have taken place here. A good example would be Florida Girls that shot here last year. Georgia for Florida, and they're getting ready to start shooting their second season. You mentioned Patrick Roper, who is listening to the show right now. He was cast to come in for one day, and the executive producer, I hope we get Patrick on our show at some point. He's great.
He's one of Savannah's best, I think.
He's wonderful. But great he guy. Came in for one day, and the executive producer, who also plays the lead actress, they just loved him, so they incorporated him into the story. It's like his character isn't just teaching this, you know, driver's ed class. He works at the bar and he does this too. So a lot, you know, small town people do multiple
jobs. I was going to say that, especially actors, you got to pay that bill.
They had him, his character of Ken had three different jobs. So he was, it became a running gag that he was popping up everywhere because he does every job.
Yeah.
And I just thought that he's a great representation of a Savannah actor that, you know.
Well, it was interesting. It's interesting because, and it's a good point, but when we were doing shows in San Diego, they made it a point to hire day players who were from San Diego. Nice. We had plenty of actors
and
newscasters.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but with some of the incentives there, at least with some shows, I think there is a little bit of a prerequisite.
For Georgia,
to get local.
I don't even know if you guys know this. You get the Georgia incentives for filming here, but there's an additional tax incentive for Chatham County.
So
if they hire someone who lives within 60 miles of City Hall, there's an additional 10% incentive.
So
it's in
the
company's best interest.
Counting that money there. That's a great incentive. And as long as we've got those incentives, we've definitely got the industry, and we've got many years of productions ahead. I want to talk about women in film, and Blanca, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, but are you the owner of or you're part of Movie Makers Location Equipment LLC?
That's my husband's.
That is your husband's.
Well, mine too, I suppose.
Okay. He's like, come on now. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, so you're an entrepreneur.
Yes, and I do also have my own rental company there for costumes.
Okay.
In Albuquerque. Yeah.
Okay. Out in Albuquerque. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the microphone just go away from me. It's just going up on the way there. And
So I provide equipment for films when I get on a show, uniforms mostly,
awesome.
And like Expendables. Which are rolling racks, steamers, such, you know, sewing machines. But my husband, he's a Teamster, and he's a coordinator. So he has, like, the honey wagon, the camera trucks, the wardrobe trucks.
Appreciate that honey wagon.
Picture cars. Yeah. They did the picture cars on Breaking Bad. They did my stepson right now. He's working on Evel Knievel. And he's going to be the picture car coordinator.
Anybody need definitions on this stuff? Because I know we're kind of speaking another language, but I figure y'all work mostly in film, so you get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Most people get it, but if you want to break into a definition here at Air, I'm not going to stop you.
Okay.
So I've got three powerful women here in this studio with me today, which I'm honored to have here. Y'all, it's safe to say you've been in the industry for a little bit of time.
25 years, I guess.
Which is amazing, y'all, in your early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, been for 22 years.
Out of the cradle.
Working since the womb. Yeah.
But how has the business changed? Well, I know there's a lot going on. And then I want to ask, what in your opinions, can we do better as an industry?
Well,
you can always do everything better.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, again, technology has had a gigantic impact on the way we shoot now.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
And part of the downside of that is because technology has gotten so much more expansive, they expect the same amount of work or more in a shorter period of time.
Right.
Without realizing that.
So quick.
Yeah, because, you know, now it's instant gratification. Well, that doesn't always happen as much as you want it to. As much as I want to give you what you want, when you want it, I don't always have it.
Right.
So managing people's expectations is a big deal.
Because it's easy to get those expectations, you know, oh, we can knock out this, and this before lunch.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, hold the phone.
You do have to physically get a hold of that thing that you're talking about.
Are you going to do when you turn next to you and there's a robot that's making the costumes with you and they're doing it 20% faster?
I'm going to be retired.
You're going to buy stock in robots.
The interesting thing about that is that I don't know how probable that is
in
the near future.
What you both do, that you have to have that.
You have to have that. I'm getting is the human element has to be there.
Yeah.
And that creativity you have eyes to see what works with what and how to achieve that de-aging.
Aging.
Okay. I'm thinking
the stressing
of
de-aging. And aging. Yeah.
You know how they make like Al Pacino. Yeah,
that's
people ask me if I got a bit of a gut. I'm like, no, that's just special effects. Gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, what I do as an assistant director, you know, I do a lot of coordinating. But for what these ladies do, you are one-on-one getting personal interactions. You are in those actor spaces making sure that they have what they need.
Yes, everything they need. Yes.
Nothing will replace the human in the equation, you know.
It's true. It's just... I think I'm speaking more about the way that things are shot, particularly on this show. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that came from reality TV.
Yeah.
TV happened because many years ago the writers went on strike.
A potential strike coming up,
and they had to figure out a new way. So the people who come from reality TV don't necessarily have the experience of working on an episodic where it's a little more planned out. I've never worked reality. I could be barking up the wrong tree.
Reality's hard. I mean,
and they come from a much faster moving genre.
Case,
It's probably almost like network like news or something, which is like intense. That's like intense.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got to get this done, and you know you can't misfire. You know, you can tell every time there's a misfire, something doesn't go as planned.
Reality TV is like working in an improv comedy club.
Exactly.
I like the old style filming where they had real film and all that. I don't like this new way.
You don't?
No. I still like the old way.
Well, you know, there's
it's just different.
It's different.
But it gave you more time to really get the work done for the costumes. Now you're like so rushed that you don't get the prep to do the right thing.
And sometimes I know supplies
is really shrunk. Yeah.
You might run out of supplies, right? You know, I mean, if you're far, you know, let's say we don't have, you know, we need better infrastructure, I think, in Savannah, something we've talked about on this show. You know, we need a good soundstage.
Yeah.
We need something for grip and electric, house, costuming, you know, we have some businesses that I know you can work with.
What was that costume place you guys used? We used it on the act too. It was like Acme or something.
Yeah, I think it's Acme.
Those guys were pretty cool.
Yeah,
and they had some good stuff.
And I know Samita. Forgive me, I forgot her name.
Samita Wolf.
Yeah, she has.
She was art department on Florida Girls.
Yeah,
that's where I worked with her. Mm.
Her recyclables, I forgot the name of it. It just left my name. I just had it on my brain. And
Film Biz Recycling.
Film Biz Recycling, that's it, yes. Yeah, so, and there's other companies that the productions work with. So,
she takes props and or set deck and things after shows and makes a business of it and sells it or reuse it
rents
it.
Oh, yeah, that's like that place in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know the film industry, you know, sometimes gets a bad rap, but they're very generous, a lot of productions. I know when they had the SpongeBob film, a lot of those, like, 1950s, 1960s or whatever diner pieces that they had, I think they gave them to Habitat for Humanity and, you know. And,
a lot of the times it
stuff
costs
like
you more to ship it back to the studio than it does to offload it. They're generous, but it's also a little bit of
tax incentives. I mean, I've done shows where at the end of the show, they have sales, like garage sales.
Oh, yeah, I've done those shows, too.
It's like, oh, we're shutting a production office down.
And
it's to buy this printer or these office supplies.
I like it when we donate to, like, organizations, like, you know, like the homeless shelter and the clothing banks, you know?
Yeah. I've been on shows before. We're catering at the end of the day. They've had partnerships with homeless shelters and food. Because we have catering every day. Because you want a captive audience.
If you want to get fed, you want to eat well, you need to get in the film industry. I'm telling you.
I explained it to somebody this way. Because somebody asked me about it. Specifically about craft service, Reba. Is it true that food is available all day?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, it is. Because they don't let you leave.
That's right.
There you go.
And it's also, if you're keeping
God bless Crafty.
But if you're keeping someone in a work environment in our case, on our show, we have a limit that we can't be on set more than 14 hours, which is an NBC policy. I think it's universal also.
Oh, is it? Well,
I know it's NBC, but it's sad when you say a 14-hour day is a short day. You're not allowed to work more than 14 hours.
I have a comment here on my comment about, and this is from, help me out here. I'm talking to myself. Okay. From Gil Bigworm. don't know who that is. I'm sorry. How will a robot age or die? Related clothing. How will they? I don't know. Ask a Terminator.
No. I don't think it's possible.
I worked on Terminator.
I'm glad you brought that up. I am a massive Terminator fan. You worked on Terminator Salvation, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a fan of something, you're a fan even when it's not so good. I'm pointing at a certain shirt I'm wearing. And even when the story doesn't go the way you want. But I love the Terminator films. I almost said Dark Phoenix, Dark Fate. But yeah, Terminator Salvation, you got to work with Batman.
Kristen Bale.
Thank you. Ford versus Ferrari guy.
I did that one too.
You did? That's true. What did you have to do, like, for Terminator Salvation? I mean, what specifically can you tell me that I don't know that the geek in me will just, like, totally just love? What's a good story that from production there of Terminator Salvation?
One of the, with Christian Bale, his costume that he had a jacket and it was leather, but it, when they got it, it was lined with sheepskin and it was so bulky and and it looks so kind of like
beefy. He looked real beefy.
So I had to go out to like a pet store and get one of those shearing ones, like for when you shave the dog, you know, like shaving the dog.
So you had to shave
Kristen Bell's jacket.
I came back and I flipped them inside out and laid them out and just shaved them like I was doing, you know, grooming a dog. And I had to do like 10 of them.
Oh my gosh.
And I had more fur on me than...
You could have used a Terminator to help you out with that. He could have terminated the shearing.
That's thing about stunts is that you always have more than one outfit.
Right. Yeah.
And chances are you're going to have, if it's like Terminator, you're going to have up to 10.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go through stages because he's going to keep wearing it. It's going to keep getting torn up. He's going to get into another fight.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, part of what you do is tracking when he wore what.
What stage
continuity,
and then getting two or three different versions because you have a photo double, you have a stunt double, you have, you know, so whatever you're doing it four or five different times.
It's and then, you know, you lay all the jackets out and you beat them with chains.
Poor jackets. You
run them over with your car.
Put them in the dryer with
a fire. If you're doing Buffy,
I'm not getting on your bad side.
I just did a show this past year, right when I left the pilot, I went back to Albuquerque, and I worked on a show with Angelina Jolie. And she's a firefighter, and I had to do all her pants in stages, you know. So there was like at least 40 pairs that I did.
Did she start out as a rookie and then sort of became, is that why?
No, it was just, it's how she was... going into different fires and in the forest, and then she slides down this like a mountain, and then she rolls down and ends up in the bottom.
Oh,
so I had to like make sure that the
and
pants...
then her stunt people too.
Yeah,
like, all that stuff.
Yeah. But then you know, just to have them, and I had them label 1, 2, 3 stage B, C, whatever, you know.
And it's like that, I mean, not just wardrobe. On Ford versus Ferrari last year, we did second unit here. We shot the race here.
Mm-hmm.
And we established early on, it's three different state units, beginning of the race, you know, middle of the night, and the next day right before the end. So our painter, who did an amazing job, had to keep track of what stage of the race.
Yeah.
And we had so many, we probably had 30 different picture cars, and we were pulling, you know, pulling the skins off because this car, we had one Ferrari car that was used for a couple different people, so we're pulling the numbers off and replacing the numbers.
Yeah.
And you know,
with the hero car, it was the pod car, it was tricky.
I know. I get to see my stepson do that too, a lot, you know.
And so you said he's working on Evel Knievel,
the movie. They're doing it. They're prepping right now in Albuquerque.
Can we say his name? Give him a shout out.
My son.
Yes.
Chris Hicks.
Okay, Chris Hicks. Congratulations, Chris Hicks, on that. And that's proud mama Blanca Garcia Hicks there. She's a dyer.
He was on Breaking Bad too, and
awesome.
He was the picture car coordinator, and he got to ride a motorcycle on one of Jesse's scenes that he comes out of his house, and he got sagged on that.
Wow.
Another way to get a SAG card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good thing to get sagged. that's
Vince,
a good term.
Vince
got sagged.
Wanted him on there, and the creator and the director, and he, you know.
I was on a Chuck Norris movie, and we blew up a building.
On purpose, I hope.
Yes, but it was a U-shaped building, and they laid the charges.
So it was Melrose Place.
They laid the charges at the back of the building, and then on either side, and then they were going to have... they were going to have extras, not even stunt guys, run out of the house. By the time the explosions went off, it was supposed, they were supposed to have been completely clear. But somehow, there was a misjudgment, and they all went off pretty much at the same time.
Oh.
And I watched the heat wave hit the back of those guys and throw them across the street. But again... They were fine. They were fine people. Everybody was okay. But they got bumped up because they actually became stuntmen.
I did a Stephen King project, Desperation, we actually caught the set on fire.
Ooh.
And the thing was that they were inside this, community. It was in Tucson. And we were the convention center, and they built the tunnel of this, like, copper mine.
Right.
And all the extras were in there, and all of a sudden, this, like, this powder that we call Fuller's Earth airborne. And then on the walls, there was those little flickering candle lights, and it caught on fire.
Oh, dear.
But we can't use that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
They don't use it.
But what
kids
happened,
don't try this
it
at
caught
home.
On fire, and all the extras that were out in the mine, like pretending they're mining, thought it was part of the set.
Wow.
And they're
so
just,
they didn't leave.
They didn't leave. And then the director were outside watching the monitor, and he's screaming, "Everybody out! It's on fire!" And then the sprinklers came down. The water was all over, and all our equipment got rained on.
$4 million
later.
$4 million later. Oops.
And then there was next to us was
so Crafty didn't show up the next day, did
no.
they? You're like, here's some Cheetos.
And so. We had a woman that had like disfigured face and like scars and blood and whatever. So then when they evacuated the place and we're outside in the parking lot, there was a next to us, there was a ice capades going on. And on the other side, there was Urban Keith concert.
Oh, Lord.
So they're all having to leave and they're all staring
at
the poor woman that had all that blood on her and everything, you know, freaking out.
That's awesome. The power of makeup.
Well, I tell you, yeah, the sound mixer must have loved that production.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we had snakes that were, like, in little cages.
Why do they have to be snakes?
It was part of the scene, you know, and so they were, like, they were floating up in the water, you know.
Oh, no.
That's when you would have saw me leaving. They're like, what happened to Ed? Oh, he left a half hour ago.
I left my set bag and ran out.
So much.
Yeah.
So the moral of that story is safety first.
Here's the funny thing too. I go back to LA and I had a mandatory safety class I had to attend, and I go sit there and Daryl, the camera guy that had just been on the show with my desperation. So we're sitting there and they're talking about the Fuller's Earth and how dangerous it is and no longer that we're going to use walnut dust, blah.
Oh,
and then they start using the movie that I had just done.
Not walnut
dust. It's an example.
Okay.
So here's a question, because you guys are based...
Uh-oh, we have to stop.
I'm sorry, we have to end the show now. No, for real, we do. Time's up. I really want to hear that story. We'll have to maybe talk about it off camera.
When we come back for season two.
Right.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll have you back whenever you want. And send all your friends.
Yes. line
them up.
Watch the show on March 10th. Please watch the show.
That's Council of Dads on NBC. It's coming. It's on the time slot behind
This Is Us.
This Is Us. So perfect time slot. It's going to be great. It's going to be a hit. Filmed in Savannah.
And the scripts are great. I mean, I don't know about you guys. Reading scripts, I cried reading a script, and I haven't done that in 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna find out March 10th, and I want to thank Trish Rutter. Yay. Thank you, Trish.
Good night.
Blanca Garcia Hicks. Good night. And Barbara Lonkowski.
Thanks, guys.
For being here on Savannah on Film. There's so much more we wanted to cover. I'm sorry. I hit the camera. I'm not the cinematographer.
Thank you for having us.
Thank y'all. And just hang out for a second. I want to thank everybody for listening to Savannah on Film here on WRUU and 107.5 FM Savannah. And have a great evening.
You've been listening to another episode of Savannah on Film, where we give a voice to the Savannah film community. Please like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow us on Twitter. This program was originally broadcast on 107.5 FM in Savannah, Georgia, and worldwide on www.wruu.org. Join us next time for more intriguing insights into the vibrant Savannah film community here at Savannah on Film.